Well, Lord, I just want to thank you for your faithfulness to this fellowship, even through the live stream in the many, many months, Lord, going into the second year, almost the third year, Lord. And so we just want to thank you that you've been faithful to give us this technology to teach the Word of God through the live stream. And Lord, so many are logging in, and I think we're reaching more people now than ever before. And it's just your faithfulness to your Word. And so, Lord, right now I ask your anointing upon the teaching of the Word. May you have a specific word for each one of us, Lord, as we read Ezekiel chapter 26, 27, and 28. May you anoint the teaching, and may you have a word of prophecy for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Ezekiel 26, 27, and 28. Now, I want to remind you that we began another section in Ezekiel last week in chapter 25. We concluded that first section. Remember, I was kind of mentioning, if you want to really try to understand the parts of Ezekiel, it's kind of good to take a step back and outline it maybe in big chunks and kind of understand the whole of Ezekiel. And remember, I was mentioning that the easiest way is kind of maybe in two parts. The glory has departed and the glory has returned. But, you know, interspersed, right in the middle of that, there's a third section which we began last week. And that's in chapter 25. And it's a section that's about judgment on the nations. Okay, and so if you wanted to outline Ezekiel, chapters 1 through 24, the glory departs. We just finished that section last week when we covered chapter 23 and 24. The glory departs, and it's basically because of the sin of Israel. And he really kind of goes into detail, not only in that generation, but all the previous generations. He gives all these prophecies, these illustrated prophecies where Ezekiel would act out, but it gives you all the reason. He gives all the reason why the glory would depart from Israel there. But then right now in chapter 25, which we covered last week, and then all the way from chapter 25 through 32, there's a section in these 7 to 8 chapters here, and it's a proclamation of judgment upon the nations. Okay, so it's interesting, and I mentioned this last week, it kind of reminds me, we're studying the book of Revelation, and it kind of reminds me with that. You know how in Revelation, before the millennial kingdom starts, where the glory returns, there's judgment of the nations. Remember we talked about that 75-day interval, and God is going to judge the nations. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, Ezekiel is kind of put together like that. The glory departs from Israel. We know the glory is going to return in the latter days. We know that, or we believe very strongly that God is not finished with Israel. We've been really studying that in the book of Revelation. But before the glory returns to Israel, which Ezekiel highlights to the latter part, which we're going to get to in chapter 33 all the way to chapter 48. But interspersed in the middle of there is the proclamation of judgment upon the nations. Okay, so it's kind of interesting. You can study the latter day scenario too, and you can see that same thing. You know, the glory has departed from Israel, but before the glory returns in the millennial kingdom, there's going to be a judgment, an accountability of these Gentile nations. And, you know, even Jesus taught about that in the Olivet Discourse, which we cross-referenced this past Sunday in that. But it's interesting. That's the section that we're in now in Ezekiel, proclamation of judgment upon the nations. And, you know, as we get further along into it, as we cover chapter 25, we saw the judgment upon Ammon, Moab, Edom, and Philistia. You know, when you look at these sections here, I want you to note this, that he's holding them accountable how they treated Israel. Isn't that interesting? And, you know, perhaps, we don't know for sure, it's kind of a little bit more general, the judgment upon the nations in that 75-day interval before the millennial kingdom, perhaps, because in the millennial kingdom, you see the restoration of Israel. Perhaps it's going to be the same type of accountability. Who knows how they treated Israel? All I know is that it's interesting, you know, the promise all the way back in the Abrahamic covenant. Remember when God revealed himself to Abraham, he says, I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you. And it's interesting, we're going to see in these nations, these proclamation of judgment, there's a reference to how they treated Israel. Isn't that interesting? And so we're going to look at that in chapters 26, 27, and 28 as we kind of continue in this section of judgment upon the nations. Now, one of the things I wanted to, before we get into our text this evening, is to kind of circle back. Last week, remember we covered chapters 23 and 24, which concluded that section on the glory departing. You know, I referenced this. We read about this, the last part of chapter 24, when Ezekiel's wife dies. Remember we talked about it, and I kind of felt like, wow, I didn't do really kind of a enough emphasis on that, or I didn't maybe describe it, but the Lord really put on my heart. But I just kind of want to mention this too. You know, as that section closes, we read that whole part about Ezekiel's wife. He loses his wife. And remember in verse 16, let me just read it. It says, "Son of man, behold, I take away from you the desire of your eyes with one stroke." Verse 16 of chapter 24, "Yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tears run down. Sigh in silence, make no mourning for the dead." And it's interesting, you know, we looked at that, and boy, it's almost difficult to really take in. He loses his wife, and then he's not even allowed to mourn. But this was a sign to those he was ministering to, and that sign was, as they would lose Jerusalem, they think they're going back to Jerusalem, these exiles, but as they would lose that, they are not to sigh or to mourn as well. And so he uses Ezekiel in this difficult time to be a sign to them. And, you know, one of the things I just want to maybe underscore to you again, just as that section is closed there, is that, you know, the whole thing about ministry is really oftentimes getting past emotion. You know, it's just really hard sometimes to do ministry. But, you know, when we are doing ministry and we're affected so much emotionally, and there's a lot of things that are troubling, a lot of things that are difficult. But I think oftentimes, you know, when we kind of just bow to our emotions, that we stop ministry. And I think, you know, Ezekiel, he continued on, even as difficult as it is. And so one of the things I kind of want to just review a little bit again before we get into our passage this evening in chapters 26, 27, and 28. You know, ministry is not always easy. And I think as we kind of mature and grow in the Lord, I think the older we get, we recognize that there are times when our emotions get totally trampled, you know. But we have to press forward. And I think that's one of the things we need to underscore, because if we were to stop ministry every time we get hurt, there wouldn't be any ministry. And so it is a tough thing. And so, you know, it's kind of interesting, just kind of as that section closes, the glory departs. We see that Ezekiel loses somebody he dearly loves, but he presses on, doesn't he? He moves forward and he gives the word of God. And so kind of an interesting way to close that section. Okay, so chapter 26, 27, and 28, it's going to specifically highlight one nation, and that's the nation of Tyre. It's going to also go into Sidon, but a lot of times we couple Tyre and Sidon together because they're right on the coast there and they're right in the same vicinity. Okay, so Ezekiel chapter 26, we're going to see the judgment against Tyre, all the details about the siege of Nebuchadnezzar, and how he laid a siege on them and he took them. But then, you know, in chapter 27, we're going to see the reference of the wealth of Tyre because of their merchants, because they were very much into all the merchandise of the sea, what the trade of the sea had. Okay, and so we're going to see in chapter 27 the wealth that is lost in the judgment. And then in chapter 28, we're going to see the spiritual behind the depravity of Tyre, why they're judged. We're going to see a reference to Satan's fall. And so I want you to kind of note that, right? There's judgment against Tyre, right? But then we're going to see the judgment because they got so much involved in their money and themselves. But then there's a spiritual side to that as well. And I want you to note this. It really does remind me, if you've read study Revelation as well, we're going to get to these chapters. But Revelation 17 is judgment on spiritual Babylon, and Revelation 18 is judgment on physical Babylon or its wealth. And you know, you always kind of see that when you look at the world and the things of the world, right? What's behind the world is a spiritual darkness. And this is what we're going to see in these chapters here as we study the judgment on Tyre. It's judgment because they got so inundated with money and power. And so they're going to be judged for that. But what's going to be underscored there is that there's a spiritual darkness behind that. We're going to see that in Ezekiel chapter 28, okay? All right, so chapter 26, verse 1. Ezekiel, he prophesies, he says, "And it came to pass in the 11th year, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem." Notice, they're being held accountable on how they treated Jerusalem. Okay, "Son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken, who was the gateway of the peoples. Now she is turned over to me, I shall be filled she is laid waste. And again, I want to remind you, you can also go back to chapter 25 and see all of those nations, Ammon, Moab, Edom, and Philistia. They're held accountable for how they treated Israel. Okay, so this is kind of a common theme here, a common denominator, right? So Tyre, because they set against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken, who was the gateway of the peoples. Now she is turned over to me. I shall be filled. She is laid waste. Okay, verse 3. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against you as the sea causes its waves to come up. So notice there, right by the sea there, if you look at a map, right, Tyre and Sidon is right on the coast there. And they got their wealth, they received their wealth through the trade of merchants through the sea. Okay, so they're going to be judged because of that, because they were so wealthy that they forgot the God of heaven, and they actually got steeped into sin because of the wealth that they had. Okay, so verse 4 says, and they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. Verse 5, it shall be a place for spreading nets in the midst of the sea. And I have spoken, says the Lord God, it shall become plunder for the nations. Verse 6, also her daughter villages, which are in the fields, shall be slain by the sword. Then they shall know that I am the Lord, because of the judgment, right? They shall know that the Lord is the one behind it. You know, I think oftentimes, right, when we're doing well, when we have a lot of money in the bank, right, when we have that job, when we have the things that the world seems to say that's going to make you happy, right, we tend to forget the Lord. And so when those things are stripped away, right, that's how the Lord shows himself strong. So that common theme we see over and over and over again in God's judgment. People forget the Lord in the good times, right? But when things get bad, then they kind of recognize, you know, that there's a God of heaven. Now the question is, are they going to repent? Okay, so verse 7 continues on here, says, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses and with chariots. Okay, so, you know, when you study history there, there was actually a 13-year siege of Tyre there. And how they laid a siege, because Tyre was right there on the coast. It's kind of an interesting thing how they did that. And they would not let things go in and out, but a lot of the waterways, right, they would block. And that's how they would lay a siege. And so we know what a siege is, right? They surround the city, but Tyre's right on the coast, and so they would block the waterways as well. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar, he did this, and it was a 13-year siege. So basically, he starved them out, okay? And with horsemen and an army, with many people, verse 8, he will slay with the sword your daughter villages in the fields, and he will heap up a siege mound against you, build a wall against you, and raise a defense against you. Verse 9, he will direct his battering rams against your walls, and with axes he will break down your towers. Okay, so this is prophecy. It hasn't happened yet. It's prophecy, okay? And it literally happened. Nebuchadnezzar, he took them this way. Because of the abundance of his horses, their dust will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of the horsemen, the wagons, and the chariots. And when he enters your gates as men enter a city that has been breached. Verse 11, with the hooves of his horses, he will trample all your streets, and he will slay your people by the sword, and your strong pillars will fall to the ground. Verse 12, they will plunder your riches and pillage your merchandise. They will break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. They will lay your stone, verse 14, make you like the top of a rock. You shall be a place for spreading nets, and you shall never be rebuilt, for I, the Lord, have spoken, says the Lord God. Verse 15, thus says the Lord God to Tyre, will the coastlands not shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded cry, when slaughter is made in the midst of you? Verse 16, and then all the princes of the sea will come down from their thrones, lay aside their robes, and take off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground, tremble every moment, and be astonished at you. Verse 17, and they will take up a lamentation for you and say to you, how you have perished, O one inhabited by seafaring men. O renowned city, who was strong at sea, she and her inhabitants, who caused their terror to be on all her inhabitants. Verse 18, now the coastlands tremble on the day of your fall. Yes, the coastlands by the sea are troubled at your departure. For thus says the Lord God, when I make you a desolate city, like cities that are not inhabited, when I bring the deep upon you, and great waters cover you, then I will bring you down with those who descend into the pit. To the people of old, I will make you dwell in the lowest part of the earth, in places desolate for antiquity, with those who go down to the pit, so that you may never be inhabited. And I shall establish glory in the land of the living. I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more, though you are sought for. You will never be found again, says the Lord God. So notice the detail of the prophecy of how judgment's going to come. He spells it out. There's going to be a siege laid around them for a number of years. And he's basically they're going to starve them out. But I want you to go back to verse 2, right? Chapter 26, verse 2. The reason is because they're being held accountable on how they treated Israel. Isn't that interesting? Just like all the other ones that are mentioned in chapter 25, Ammon, Moab, Edom, and Philistia. And so verse 2, son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken. They rejoiced in Jerusalem's tragedy, right? And he's holding them accountable for that. Very interesting, okay? Now, chapter 27, we're going to see the lament on Tyre. And they're going to be lamenting all their merchandise, all their money that's going to be lost, okay? And again, as I mentioned, right, there's judgment on physical, but then there's also judgment on the spiritual as well. And the spiritual we're going to see in chapter 28, the spiritual darkness behind and the judgment on that, okay? It's the same thing as I mentioned. When we get in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, there's going to be a spiritual Babylon, what fuels the physical Babylon, which is the world. It's a picture of the world, and we're going to see judgment on both there as well. And so we see kind of a similar thing with Tyre right here. There's going to be judgment on the physical and the spiritual. Okay, so right now, we're going to see the physical, their wealth. Okay, so the lamentation for Sire in chapter 27, verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, now, son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyre, and say to Tyre, you who are situated at the entrance of the sea, merchant of the peoples on many coastlands, thus says the Lord. I want you to note, every time there's a reference to merchandise or merchant, or all the riches of merchandise in this chapter, it's over and over and over again. All these things are going to be stripped away. Okay, so old Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty, verse 4, your borders are in the midst of the seas. Your builders have perfected your beauty. They have made all your planks of fir trees from Senir. They took a cedar from Lebanon to make you a mast. Verse 6, of oaks from Bashan they made your oars. The company of Asherites have inlaid your planks with ivory from the coasts of Cyprus, fine embroidered linen from Egypt was what you spread for your sail. Blue and purple from the coast of Elisha was what covered you. Inhabitants of Sidon and Arvad were your oarsmen. Your wise men, O Tyre, were in you. They became your pilots. Elders of Gebal and its wise men were in you to caulk your seams. All the ships of the sea and their oarsmen were in you to market your merchandise. Those from Persia, Lydia, and Libya, verse 10, were in your army as men of war. They hung shield and helmet in you. They gave splendor to you. Men of Arvad, verse 11, with your army were on your walls all around. And the men of Gamad were in your towers. They hung their shields on your walls all around. They made your beauty perfect. Verse 12. Tarshish was your merchant because of your many luxury goods. They gave you silver, iron, tin, and lead for your goods. Yavan, Tubal, and Meshach were your traders. They bartered human lives and vessels of bronze for your merchandise. So notice how much wealth and money they have, right? And notice how all these things are going to be judged, taken away. Verse 14, those from the house of Togarmah traded for your wares and with horses, steeds, and mules. The men of Dedan were your traders. Many isles were the market of your hand. They brought you ivory tusks and ebony as payment. Syria, verse 16, was your merchant because of the abundance of goods you made. They gave you for your wares emeralds, purple, embroidery, fine linen, corals, and rubies. Verse 17, Judah and the land of Israel were your traders. They traded for your merchandise, wheat of Minnith, millet, honey, oil, and balm. Verse 18, Damascus was your merchant because of the abundance of goods you made, because of your many luxury items, with the wine of Helbon and with white wool. Dan and Yavon paid for your wares. Traversing back and forth, wrought iron, cassia, and cane were among your merchants. You read this and boy, everything was good, huh? Boy, they had good jobs, didn't they? They were making a lot of money. Everything was great, right? And they forgot the Lord and they're going to be held accountable. Again, this is judgment on the nation of Tyre. But there's going to be the spiritual aspect we're going to see in chapter 28. Okay, verse 20 says, Dedan was your merchant in saddlecloths for riding. Verse 21, Arabia and all the princes of Kedar were your regular merchants. They traded with you in lambs, rams, and goats. Verse 22, the merchants of Sheba and Ra'amah were your merchants. They traded for your wares and the choicest spices, all kinds of precious stones and gold, Haran, Kaneh, Eden, and the merchants of Sheba, Assyria, and Chilmah were your merchants. Verse 24, these were your merchants in choice items, in purple cloths, in embroidered garments, in chests of multicolored apparel, in sturdy woven cords, which were in your marketplace. Verse 25, the ships of Tarshish were carriers of your merchandise. You were filled and very glorious in the midst of the seas. Your oarsmen brought you into many waters, but the east wind broke you in the midst of the seas. Verse 27, your riches, wares, and merchandise, your mariners and pilots, your caulkers and merchandisers, all your men of war who are in you, and the entire company which is in your midst will fall into the midst of the seas on the day of your ruin. That's interesting. You know, when you read Revelation chapter 18, you know that term, Babylon is fallen, Babylon is fallen. You know how fast it falls? It falls. I mean, if you go to Revelation 18, it says very quickly, it's in 1 hour. All that 1 hour. You know, let me just read you from verse 8 of Revelation chapter 18. Therefore, her plagues will come in 1 day, right? And then death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And then in verse 10, it says, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. Verse 17, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, in 1 hour you were made desolate. 1 hour. You know, we talked about this, right? How that seventh trumpet judgment, remember on Sunday, it takes you to the end. Well, this is right at the end, Revelation 8. And in 1 hour, all the merchandise of the sea was taken out in 1 hour. And so you sense that right here in Ezekiel chapter 27, the lamentation, the lament of all their goods, Tyre, right? And how quickly they vanish. You know, and there's so much, I think, application for us in this when we study this, right? You know, we think we're doing well, and then all of a sudden you lose that job. And you lose that job, and what happens? You lose everything, right? And you start to worry. And so when we put our trust in the things of the world, but we're really building our homes on shaky foundation, huh? And so this is what's being brought to their attention, okay? So all these different merchandise are being just stripped away. Many luxuries and goods. let's keep reading here. Verse 25. It says that the ships of Tarshish were carriers of your merchandise. You were filled with very glorious in the midst of the seas. Your oarsmen brought you into many waters, but the east wind broke you in the midst of the seas. Your riches, wares, and merchandise, your mariners and pilots, your caulkers and merchandisers, everything that they had, right, was stripped away. All your men of war, right, stripped away, broken down. Verse 29, all who handle the oar, the mariners, all the pilots of the sea will come down from their ships and stand on the shore. Verse 30, they will make their voice heard because of you. They will cry bitterly and cast dust on their heads. They will roll about in ashes. Verse 31, they will shave themselves completely bald because of you, gird themselves with sackcloth, and weep for you with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. Verse 32, in their wailing for you, they will take up a lamentation and lament for you. What city is like Tyre, destroyed in the midst of the sea? Everything stripped away. Everything that they depended on, everything that they lived for, taken out. Verse 33, when your wares went out by sea, you satisfied many people. You enriched the kings of the earth with your many luxury goods and your merchandise. Verse 34, but you are broken by the seas in the depths of the waters. Your merchandise and the entire company will fall in your midst. All the inhabitants of the isles will be astonished at you. Their kings will be greatly afraid, and their countenance will be troubled. The merchants among the peoples will hiss at you, and you will become a horror and be no more forever. And so I want you to know just how it just so immediately changes when God's judgment comes, okay? And so we see the mourning, right, of everything that they lived for and based their lives on, totally stripped away, right? And basically, very little time as well. Okay, so that's the judgment, right? The physical judgment on Tyre. But then in chapter 28, as I mentioned, we see here what's behind, right? Also, the spiritual is going to be judged. And here we're going to see a kind of an interesting reference to not only the fall of the king of Tyre, but a reference to the fall of Lucifer as well. Okay, and so that's the connection here. Many people go to chapter 28 and they read this. Actually, we referred to this on Sunday morning, the fall of Satan. Remember the stages of his fall? Well, in chapter 28 here, and also in Isaiah, that passage, it records how Satan falls, and he likens this to the king of Tyre. So who's controlling the king of Tyre? It really is Lucifer. It really is Satan. He's the one that's behind, right, this nation here. And so even though they fell physically, right, it was the spiritual darkness is why they fell. And so you want to note that, right? Behind everything that's physical, there's usually something spiritual. And so because they were so dark in a physical way, right, just everything about money and all the things that they did for money and power, right, there was a spiritual element behind it. And that's what we see in chapter 28, the spiritual darkness. Okay, so 28 verse 1 says, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, this would be the king, right? The prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a god, I sit in the seat of gods, in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a god, though you set your heart as the heart of a god. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. But your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Okay, so you can see what's being described because they're so successful, right, and so rich, right? They begin to think that they're gods. They begin to think that they control their own destiny, and that's really the challenge, right? And that's the spiritual element behind, right, the physical. Oftentimes when we kind of experience a little bit of success, right, we start to think, well, we're doing good, right, and that we can do things on our own. And that's the spiritual element of darkness that's behind it. We have to always learn to trust the Lord, even in the good times, right? But right here we see the prince of Tyre, right, the king, because he's so rich and so successful, everything's going good, right? He becomes his own god. And so that's the spiritual darkness. Therefore, verse 6, thus says the Lord God, because you have set your heart as the heart of a God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers against you, the most terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They shall throw you down into the pit, and you shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas. Verse 9, will you still say before him who slays you, I am a God? You see, when you're taken down, right, no longer you're going to say, I'm a God. And this is what's going to happen. Judgment, right? It says, but you shall be a man and not a God in the hand of him who slays you. Verse 10, you shall die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of aliens, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. Verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. Mourn for the king of Tyre. And Satan, thus says the Lord God. Now here we go. Here we go. The tone changes a bit, okay? So even though the context is judgment upon the king of Tyre, right? The tone changes. So this is what I want you to know, how it changes. It says, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden. Now was the king of Tyre in Eden? No. It was Satan who was in Eden, right? So that's how the tone changes. But, you know, it's interesting. The king of Tyre is the one that's being judged. But what's behind the king of Tyre is really what? The king of darkness. It's Satan, right? And this is the connection here. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Okay, and so it says that you were created with all these different gifts, all this beautiful stones, right? All these precious things, right? Surrounding you. Verse 14 says, you were the anointed cherub, right? A cherub is what? A high-ranking angel. So this is where we kind of start to connect Lucifer with this, right? And so the darkness behind the king of Tyre is really the darkness of Lucifer, right? He says, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones as he was in the presence of God. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Verse 16, by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings, that they might gaze at you. Verse 18, but you defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities and by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more. So we see this kind of insight right into the darkness, and we see how really it's a description of Lucifer's fall. And Lucifer's fall as he became Satan, he's now the darkness behind the ruler of Tyre. I want you to notice, even when he's referring to Satan, so notice in verse 16 it says, by the abundance of your trading. Isn't that interesting? And so the whole thing about how the enemy or Satan gets to his people through money, right? By the abundance of your trading. And you know, it really is true, right? The money is not evil in and of itself, but it's the love of money, right? That is really the cause of all kinds of problems. And this is one of Satan's tools. It's the abundance, right? The abundance of money. I mean, you think about even some of the most anointed people that you know, right? Oftentimes, it's the temptation of money. I mean, money splits churches, doesn't it? It splits families, when you think about it, right? And so it's one of Satan's tools. It's not money in and of itself, but it's the love of money that really is the source of evil. Okay? Now, proclamation against Sidon. Sidon is right next to Tyre, right on the coast. Now, who's from Sidon? Think about it. Well, the first person I think about is Jezebel. And I want you to note, as he prophesies and he uses the feminine pronoun. He prophesies against her. It's interesting. And you know, Jezebel is the one that brought the worship of Baal right into the northern tribes and almost got it all the way through to the southern tribes as well. Remember when she married into the northern tribes, but one of her daughters, right, almost married into, or actually did marry into the southern tribes and almost overtook it there. And so Sidon is kind of that nation where Jezebel is from, and that's where Baal worship was very, very much practiced. Okay, so verse 20 says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, set your face towards Sidon and prophesy against what? Against her. And say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, Sidon. I will be glorified in your midst, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I execute judgments in her and am hallowed in her. For I will send pestilence upon her and blood in her streets. The wounded shall be judged in her midst, and by the sword against her on every side. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 24. And there shall no longer be a pricking briar or a painful thorn for what? The house of Israel from among all who are around them, who despise them. And then they shall know that I am the Lord. I say, notice the reference to Israel again. Okay, now find verse 25. Thus says the Lord God, when I have gathered the house of Israel from the peoples among whom they are scattered, and am hallowed in them, in the sight of what? The Gentiles. Now, isn't that what's going to happen, right, in the gathering of the nations there at the latter days? Remember the judgment upon the nations? But as their judge, right, he's going to gather his people from all the Gentile nations into the land there. It's kind of a similar theme, right? It says, hallowed in them in the sight of the Gentiles, then they will dwell in their own land, which I gave to my servant Jacob. So you can see the similarity there, right? Right in here. That as there's judgment upon these nations, they're held accountable how they treated Israel, that God's going to gather them from these nations to return to the land. And they will dwell safely there, build houses and plant vineyards, yes. They will dwell securely when I execute judgments on all those around them who despise them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord their God. And so, you know, the near-term fulfillment is when they return to the land under... Remember, we talked about Zerubbabel. He brings that first group back, Zerubbabel and Yeshua. Then you have Ezra bringing a second group back, and Nehemiah fortifying the walls there. During that time, during the Medo-Persian Empire, they do return to the land and build houses. Okay, so they do gather them from the world. Okay, but you know, you can't help but think the latter days that we've been studying and talking about in the book of Revelation, God is not finished with Israel. And so after all these nations are going to be judged, and as I mentioned, the judgment upon the nation is going to happen in that 75-day interval between the tribulation and the millennial kingdom. How are they going to be judged? You know, it would seem to point to how they treated Israel, because Israel is going to return into the land in the millennial kingdom. And so are these Gentile nations going to be held accountable? Because this could be a long-term fulfillment or a prophecy too, right? When it says, and they will dwell safely, they build houses and plant vineyards. Yes, they will dwell securely when I execute judgments on all those around them who despise them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord their God. This could be referring to the millennial kingdom as well, right? And so, again, the context here is holding these nations accountable for how they treated Israel. Could it be in the latter days, right before the millennial kingdom starts, that that's how they're going to be judged as well? And all that to say is that, again, the theme is that God is not finished with Israel. And you can see that from cover to cover. God is faithful to his word, his promises to Israel. And so even in the latter days, right, future from us, God is, I believe, going to restore Israel right back into the land. God is not finished with Israel. And he's going to hold, I believe, those Gentile nations accountable for how they treated Israel. Again, all the way back to Abraham, what God said, I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you. Okay, so we're going to see a long proclamation of judgment against Egypt. And we're going to see the accountability of how Egypt treated Israel as well. And this is going to be from chapter 29 all the way to chapter 32. Okay, so this is going to be a major proclamation against Egypt. Actually, there's going to be 7 oracles against them. Okay, so we'll begin that next week in chapter 29. Okay, all right, let's go and pray. I just want to thank you for this time and your word. I ask your blessing, Lord, as we read through these prophecies in Ezekiel. Lord, may you help us to understand them, Lord. Put them in its context, Lord. Help us to see the application even today as we watch what's going on in the Middle East, Lord. Watch what's going on in Israel. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you give us understanding, Lord. Help us to be ready in these days, in these times, Lord. For truly, we know that you're not finished with Israel. All these prophecies must be made to come to pass, Lord. Your promises, Lord. These unconditional covenants, even the new covenant being written on their hearts and minds, as Jeremiah prophesied. All these things will come to pass, Lord. So help us to be ready. Help us to understand these things in the times that we live in. Oh, Lord, that we might live fully devoted to you, knowing that the time is right at hand. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.